One of the great truths of Scripture is that your life and my life, that our life is important. Very important. And God commanded here, if you read the Scriptures, He commanded the Israelites to teach their children His laws. And then He says, and I want you to make sure of something else. They have to know the history of your family. Again and again. You can't miss it. God is determined that the story of what He does in the lives of men and women should be told. That a life lived for God leaves a lasting legacy. And I want to talk about that with you this morning. I've got 4 weeks. Last Sunday was to set up your altar, pitch your tent, and dig your well. I told you how I saw you as my well. I came here and dug a well. They called it the Rochford Congregational Church. Now, I want to talk about you. And I want to talk about myself. And the way I want to do it this week, last week, it was the place. This week, it's persons. Next week, we'll talk about priorities. And then the week after, we'll deal with the possibilities. So I'm going to read something that will sound different. It's going to come from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with it to me now. But Ecclesiastes 7. And what, can you notice what I'm using? There's my marker. You're using your marker every day, getting up thankfully and praying expectantly and speaking kindly. Well, here I am in this. Now, he's describing, and I don't have time to read the other 6 chapters to get you to this. What kind of people and what blesses people like us? Here it is. A good name is better than a fine perfume. And listen to this. And the day of death better than the day of birth. It's better to go into a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. And the living should take this to heart. That sorrow is even better than laughter. Because a sad face is good for the heart. I'm going to jump to verse 8. And the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. So do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of the fools. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. So consider what God has done. And if that sounds, where is he going this morning? A few minutes' time, you'll find that out. So here it is, verse 8. Today is better than yesterday, if I brought it into modern jargon. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Or as the NIV says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. Are they really correct, those words? It's not an absolute, it's not totally so. Because some things are worse in the way they end rather than their beginning. But what it's been doing is been giving advice how to make your life better. Now that's the key word. It's used 11 times in this particular passage. He's concerned about one thing, making sure that you have a good name, that you have a good reputation in life. And so he contrasts these two moments in our human life and tries to evaluate what they mean in terms of our experience. The day you're born, the day you are given your name, and then the day when your name appears in the obituary column. The life you've lived is between those two things, between those two days. And whether your name leaves behind something that is fragrant or whether it leaves sadness, that's the sense in which he's speaking, that the day of death is better than the day of your birth. Do you know, when you're born, you're given three names. They called me David Patrick Saunders. That was what my mom and dad did. And then I got a name that everybody else knew. And my mother would get quite upset because they called me Dave. He said, I named him David. It doesn't matter to me, but she was quite convinced. See, there was the name that you gave me. The name she gave me, the name you gave me. And then there's the name that I've lived for. The name that I wanted to be my choice. The name that would be the testimony of my life. You know, remember that girlie? I was preaching on it for your mom's funeral, wasn't I? Mary with her perfume jar. And when she broke it and anointed Jesus, Judas said, what a waste. And Jesus said, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Her name will be honored forevermore as the lady who did this before my death at Calvary. Honored throughout the world. Because it was a remarkable act of love and devotion and sacrifice and commitment. Do you know what Judas is? Judas is from Judah, from praise. And he went and hanged himself. Went and hanged himself and committed suicide. Are you with me? You could go to the Micronesian islands. Mary Fergo used to sit over here, abandoned as a baby when she was 8 and knew the Lord, collected £20 in half pennies with her friend for the John Williams to sell to Kiribati. And 40 years later, they learned the name Dave Saunders because I was there. They have my name. Titch Ford talked to me this week. He said, remember when we went to Campo Mayor? And there was Titch remembering. And I used to hear on the building site, Titch! Titch! One of them gave them his hat as a thank you, as a compliment. He had a name. To us, it was Graham Ford. To everyone, that was his mom. But to you and me, he is Titch. But to the Brazilians, he was the builder on the site, helping put up the building in 3 weeks that would be a church and a community hall in the week. You see, are you with me? In Poland, say the name Dave Saunders. They'll know who I am. I met the young man, Andres, about 6 weeks ago, and he hugged me. It was very emotional. He said, I thought you were dead. We've been talking of your name. We wondered where you were, but the pandemic wouldn't allow us to know. Do you understand where I'm at with you this morning? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. It's a maxim, a rule for life. While we're living, doing God's things, God's way. The prodigal had a beautiful beginning. He had everything he wanted. And then he has suffering and he has poverty. Joseph is sold as a slave. But because of his trust, because of his commitment to God, he ends up as the prime minister with the top job that saved the world. There's a wedding in Cana. And the wine runs out. And the host gets applause. Why? Because Jesus is there and Jesus does something. He fills those water pots. They turn water into wine. And the host says, "You saved the best till the last." Romans 8 says this, no matter what happens to you, whatever happens to me, whatever happens to us, all things will work together for bad. No, it doesn't say that. It says they will work together for good. Why? According to him, according to his purposes, according to his ways. I could bring you a guy here this morning called Phil Lemester. He's a pastor in Kentucky, in the States there. And I haven't forgotten what he shared one day. That he had a man who called him just before Christmas, and they met. And the man told him how, in a fit of rage and anger, he was responsible for the death of his wife. And it served now his lifetime, his years in prison. And he hadn't seen his daughter since the day of the actual crime. And it was Christmas. And tears were running down his face, says Phil. He said, "I could pass my girlie on the street and I wouldn't even know who she was." Well, they talked. Phil tried to minister to him. But this was the most dramatic bit of it all. When he got to talk with Phil, I tell you exactly the words he said. "Now, preacher, let's leave Jesus out of it, okay?" And when Phil said goodbye to him, he said, that was the problem. Because he left Jesus out of it. Do you want to know what's happening in our world? You want to know why we've got the crises that we're facing? They've left Jesus out of it. Don't ever let us do anything like that. In a couple of weeks, I was watching the fields. I was out to Canuton, watching all the fields. They'd already been got ready. You ask Jeremy about this. Another month or so, it'll be cold. It'll be dark in the early mornings. But they'll be getting the seed. And they'll be putting it in the ground. And then we'll all be basking here with the sheaves of corn in the early September. That won't happen unless the seeds are put into the ground, and the end will be better than the beginning. Can I leave you with four words when we look at something like this? You know, I think of soldiers. There's all this hoo-ha with Harry and so on. Soldiers who go to war, you leave your friends behind. They may have a cross. Very rarely will they have a casket. And you come home again. And you know the end is better than the beginning. The best thing that I ever saw with the soldiers was a boy over there where Anne and Hugh were sitting. And that was Peter Fort. Because I had a screen behind me here with a picture on. It was a remembrance service. And there were his two friends. He left them behind. But I had his bag here that he carried in Iran and Afghanistan. The end was better than the beginning. Here's my first word, silence. Silence your regrets. We've all had missed opportunities. We should have done some things better in the pandemic than we did. I can't change that. I didn't know how to stream. I still don't know how to stream. And maybe folks said to me, you should have been streaming, Dave. I can't have that. I've missed the opportunity to do that. You see? All I know is this. I know a man called Moses. And one day God set a bush on fire. And Moses went over and had a look at it. He'd had 40 years of obscurity. 40 years when he'd been a runaway. 40 years when he'd made a mess of his life. And he tells God, I can't do anything for you. And God said, what's in your hand? And it was the rod, the shepherd rod. And he would use it. He'd strike a rock with it, and water would come gushing out. He'd raise it up, and there'd be plague after. It's amazing. The end was better than the beginning. And you have to let some things go. Whatever we've messed up, whatever we should have done and we didn't do, silence those regrets. And all those sad experiences that have happened in our lives, silence your regrets. The setbacks, the disappointments, the sorrows, the conflicts, the buffeting, all those things that went on. We have a hymn we haven't sung for a long time. I don't think we have the capacity verbally, in the sense of your ability to sing it. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. It's got a word in it. Here I raise my Ebenezer. It's going back to 20 years of the Philistines and the failure. And the prophet Samuel picking up a stone and said, it's Ebenezer. Thus far, God has helped us. Whatever we have done, however we've wandered, no matter what life has been our experience, God is at the end, waiting to make it better than at the beginning. He's told me in Psalm 19, the span is 70 years. But if by reason of your strength, 80 or more, that's okay. Do you know what? Somebody asked me a question this week. It was from overseas. I was mentoring them. And they said something to me. I said, I'm one more day closer home. I am. Every day, I'm marching. I want to silence all my regrets and disappointments and know that every day I go one day closer. I go one day nearer home, because this world is not my home. Here's my second word. Soothe. Soothe what? All your worries, all your forebodings, the tough times that come our way, the trials that test our faith. You see, they're just part and parcel of life itself. When you read the story of Joseph, it gets worse and worse by the hour, it seems. He's slandered by Potiphar's wife. His character is shredded. He's there in prison. Then he helps the butler and so on and the baker, and they forget him. But then... all those forebodings, those years, gone. Because the end becomes the better than the beginning. That's true for you, it's true for me. Do you know about JF Kennedy? Do you know when the boy, the son Patrick, 2 days old, was there in hospital, and Kennedy goes in with his entourage to protect him, and he saw two girlies on a bed. They had been badly burned. In fact, one of them would ultimately lose her hand completely. And Kennedy, J.F. Kennedy, was so taken up with what he saw with these two girls that he stopped. And he wrote a special note for each of them. And he went on to his own boy, who would die the next day. 2 days. 2 days. If a man who's a politician can do that, what can you and I do? David one day cried out, saying, I'm a broken vessel, Psalm 31. I identify that. Let me give you a very old hymn. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood of Calvary. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us song in the night season and all the day long. I know it is to come through the flood, to come through the sorrow, and I've shared so much with all of you, and I've seen it with you too. But God gives us a song. It'll soothe any forebodings you have about what lies ahead. And here's my third word, stir. Stir. Silence your regrets. Soothe all those forebodings. God's in control. And now stir your faith. Live as we live in a world of instant coffee. My notes here this morning were about percolating your faith. It's a fantastic morning reading. Because we live with instant coffee and everything must be done now. And the man of the world is, it's now. What's all the strikes are about? What we want now, 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 now. But when... have you sat on the train going with your back? On that kind of seat where your back. And as you're going up to... As I used to go up to London... I see the trees. And even the platforms and something, they're all gone past me like that. And life seems to be like that. And it's in those times, you see, he says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. God is going to give us the grace and the courage and the strength or whatever is needed ahead for us to make this church flourish again. Tell you that with all of my heart. It'll stir our faith. But what about, what's my last word? Seek your actions, your involvement. However wonderful it might be at the end. I'm going to ask some of you, have you begun? Have you begun? Have you got on life's journey with Jesus? It's the new beginning is called the new birth. You see, the Christ of the cross is the one who changes everything. And if this were to be my final day, my end would be better than my beginning, because in August 1954, I made Jesus my Savior. And my Lord, I began, but more than that, I'm continuing. I'm going on and on and on. Do you know how long it took Nike? Years to produce that shocks. You know, that those, I don't know how you do it, those kind of things in the trainers. In the heel, when you press down, it's as if you are springing up and so on. All I know, when they were testing the shocks and the profiles and so on, smiles broke out on people's faces as they could run faster and run better. And I got some shocks. Oh, you can't see them. I've got some springs here. And so have you. And when we press down on them, we rise higher. We get there. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall upon me, was what we were singing right at the very beginning. We can do things we could never do on our own in any other way. And when we allow the shocks of the Spirit of God to move us, to lift us, to push us, the end will be better than the beginning. Have you got it? Make a name for yourself by living for Him. Let those regrets go. Oh, they don't count. Put them, silence every one of them. All those questions you got about your tomorrow, soothe all those forebodings and stir your faith and seek to go His way, do His will. That's when you've made an altar, pitched a tent, dug a well. And next week, we'll look at the priorities. God bless you, keep you, make His face shine on you, be gracious to you. And the Lord make you to be a blessing wherever you go this week. In Jesus' name, amen.